factor, Fred. Enough to give a man the creeps.
Sure is. I wonder what they're blowing the bugle for.
Oh, I'm not talking about the bugle. I'm talking about the way those shells echo in and out of these here Syrian hills.
Echoes won't hurt you, Joe. I wish I could say the same for those foreign legion jackets. I tell you, they're going to give us plenty of bother before we clean them out.
Citation. Presenting authentic stories of heroism and gallantry taken from the histories of war. The story of NX-12378, Lieutenant A.R. Cutler, V.C.
By now, what those foggies were blowing their bugles for, rousing themselves up for the belting they give us.
Their foreign legion troops are mighty fighters, Joe.
I can't understand why. Every nationality under the sun in them, Russians, Germans, Itais, the works, even Irishmen. Wonder we haven't struck a couple of Australians with them.
Plenty of time yet. This merger yearns is going to be a piece of cake. Listen, tanks.
Yes, he goes again. French tanks. Armored cars, too, by the sound of it. What show have we got? Handful of infantry and a few RT drop short observers. What do you make of those jokers, Fred? Those artillery blokes on them.
I don't know. That long jagger there with a mow. That Lieutenant Cutler. He's sort of 6'4". Tall enough to observe for his artillery without coming up with the infantry. Yeah, I don't know what to make of them, Joe.
Tell you what, Fred. You'll soon be finding out. You'll be on for young and old here, any tick of the clock. Now we'll see their form.
Yes, they were to see the form of the artillery observers from the 2nd 5th Field Regiment, Royal Australian Artillery. And in particular, the form of Lieutenant A.R. Cutler, a 25-year-old gunner from Manly, New South Wales. In the fierce fighting around this fortified town in Syria, their telephone line back to the guns was cut, and a Vichy French force, spearheaded by two tanks, came at them.
Look, Fred, the Louis having a go at the tanks with an anti-tank rifle. Him and Corporal Fred.
Anti-tank fire's just bouncing off.
Made the tanks stop and think anyway. Yeah, made them scuttle for cover.
But the frog infantry's still going to press on. Look at them coming doubled up.
Yeah. Hey, Fred. That Lieutenant Cutler's dicey anti-tank gun. Him and Fred have got themselves a rifle and brandy.
Now, never mind watching air, Jacobs, Joe. Keep your sights on those frogs. They're making for us again.
Well, that's given them something to think about. Push them back behind that stone wall. I'll drum you something right now, Fred. Those artillery jokers are all right. That Cutler, him and Pratt, they handle themselves well. Let's tell the froggy something. Maybe they won't be so keen to try again.
But Joe was wrong. The enemy who fought in Syria was brave and tenacious, cunning and skillful. Many of the troops were mercenary soldiers of the French Foreign Legion, and they'd trained hard in the difficult terrain of chasm and steep mountain slope, of swift river and exacting extremes in climate. These mercenary soldiers had built forts on the precipitous high ground and prepared their defenses so that now they were able to use the terrain to their best advantage, to the best advantage both for their infantry and for their armor. No, Joe was wrong. The French were not retiring. At that moment, they came again, infantry following the tanks, and the turret guns of the tanks swinging steadily onto the crouching Australians.
Their tanks are firing, Fred.
Yeah. And look across there. That second shot knocked three of our party over. Corporal Pratt's dead. That gunner bloke, Grace, he's been hit bad. He says that gunner, Captain Clark.
But not Cutler.
Look at him.
Look at him, pretty boy.
He's doing all right, Joe. You keep your eyes ahead. It's war's fair dinkum. Keep up your fire.
That Lieutenant Cutler. He's got his anchor tank gun blasty again. Now that they're just bouncing off the turret, though. Oh, now he's got the right idea. Now he's onto the left. He's firing at the tank tracks, Fred.
I can see. I can see the sparks belting off the tracks.
And the bodies are turning, mate. The tanks are turning. How these forms turn both those tanks? And the fog infantry is taking off after them. How these forms?
Now, come on. He's giving us the signal to withdraw while we can. Give him a hand with that wounded officer, Joe. I'll give cover as you go back.
Sure. But how's he fall?
That was just the beginning. Lieutenant Cutler was convinced that the enemy was unsure of himself and considered it time to press into the fortified town. First, he set up another observation post among the rocks on the outskirts. Then, at about 4:30 in the afternoon, he decided to go into the town. It was a venture into the unknown, but Lieutenant Cutler was ready to meet what came.
Take it easy. Can you see anything?
No, sir. All clear my sight.
Down! Dash around the corner, Corporal. Now! It's a bit confused in this town right now. I reckon we'll lie low here till after dark. The way things look right now, we could walk into a machine gun or a sniper any time.
You noticed where the fire came from, sir?
I noticed. And I know what it means, too, if that's what you're getting at. Looks like the enemy's in strength now between us and our own lines.
That's what I was getting at, all right, sir.
That's why we'll wait until dark. Because come the dark, Corporal Williams, we'll round up all the rest of our party who've strayed into this town and take them back.
Through the enemy lines, sir?
No other way, man. Not unless we grow wings.
Lieutenant Cutler returned safely, bringing the rest of his party skillfully through the enemy positions. And he brought with him valuable information of the situation inside that Vichy French fortress town. And so, as Joe put it, Lieutenant Cutler, the tall, dark, good-looking gunner officer from the seaside suburb of Manly, had indicated his form. But the greater test was to come. As the exhausted Australian soldiers, reduced by the bitter fighting and the back-breaking terrain, moved again towards the front, there lay ahead of them a task that would demand uncommon fortitude and endurance from the infantry. And as before, Lieutenant Cutler was forward with the infantry.
Now there it goes again. Like I say, it makes me hair creep.
Well, he's more than sleep, Paladin Joe.
Listen to our guns going out. Echoing, echoing.
Listen to the French belting it back, too. Yeah, you've got to pay them frogs. They can fire their guns accurate enough. Too accurate, in fact.
Still not as good as our own drop short jokers. That Lieutenant Cutler. I still can't get over the way he moved into them tanks.
You can get over it any time now, because unless I'm mistaken, that's his lanky frame down there. You see, Joe?
Ah, you're right, pretty boy. You're right. It's him. He's with the 2nd 16th jokers. Must be directing the fire onto that ill Attica ridge. Ah, this'll do me. No, we can't go wrong.
Again, Joe was wrong. The advancing troops, among whom Lieutenant Cutler was an observer, ran into an intense fire from well-sighted enemy posts. And the Australian attack developed into a series of small but fierce fights in which platoon became separated from company and section from platoon. They fought to gain a foothold, pushing through barbed wire obstacles and against heavy fire. And in the forefront of this infantry advance was Gunner Lieutenant Cutler, an artilleryman among the grenades, machine guns, and bayonets.
Stick it going, mate. Stick it going. Frogs are fighting like thrashing machines.
So are our men.
The only thing keeping me going is the sight of that Mr. Cutler up there. Fred, get onto him. Mr. Cutler,
Look, he jumped straight into that French machine gun post. Straight in, so help me. And they're coming out with their hands up. It must have been his height that bluffed them. Here they come back. And he's going on. Making for that next French machine gun post. Oh, he'll never do it. He'll never do it.
Again, Joe was wrong. Lieutenant Cutler did do it. Again, in the face of a torrent of fire, he faced the enemy and, with limited French, talked them into surrender. Then there was yet another machine gun post blazing lethally in front of him.
Two he's taken, and now he's making for the third. Oh, no, he's not cut out.
You'll notice he's not relying on luck this time, Joe. Look,
he's dropped the grenade in there, man. Cool as a cucumber, he dropped it in.
And another mob of frogs comes streaming out.
Like I say, Fred, how's his form? He must be wearing a charm or something. Them French bullets can't even touch him.
And so it seemed. Having taken the 3 machine gun nests and 8 French prisoners, Lieutenant Cutler found that his wireless communication from this forward position back to his guns would not work amongst those angry hills. So he offered to go back and bring a telephone line forward so that the artillery support could be continued. And here again, Joe was wrong. Severely wounded in the leg, Lieutenant Cutler lay in an exposed position until the dawn. And then some of the French, whom he had taken prisoner, carried him from the shell-scarred slope onto the road. And there in the morning, friendly hands found him and took him for medical attention to a nearby Australian casualty clearing station. They laid the seriously wounded lieutenant on the stretcher.
I don't like the look of that leg at all. And of course, you've been lying out there all night without treatment, I'm afraid. Now we've added to the wounded. However, you've been lucky, Lieutenant, and I don't think we'll stretch your luck. You're going back, my boy. Back.
And Lieutenant A.R. Cutler did go back and out. Later that same day, after being carried on a truck that passed through fierce fire, Cutler's leg was amputated. It seemed that wherever the fighting was thickest, there was Lieutenant Cutler fighting with unflagging bravery, fighting with the valor that made him the only Australian artilleryman of either World War I or II to earn the Victoria Cross. Citation. These stories are authentic. The program is produced at AWA by Donald Crosby for Army Public Relations.